Welcome to the LifeLink Church Podcast. We hope you hear something that will make a difference in your everyday life. If there is anything we can do to be a bigger part of God's plan for your life, then please email us at info@lifelinkchurch.com and let us know. Now prepare your hearts to hear God's word to you today.
Oh, it's so much fun to watch you guys as the bumpers are rolling like that, because you can tell everybody who loves music, as soon as there's a beat, their heads just start going like this. It's so much fun. Well, listen, God's got something great in store for you today. This is the sermon you've been waiting for. I hope you're ready to take good notes and capture everything God has to say to you today, because if you'll capture it and apply it, change is on the way. Ushers are moving forward right now. If you'd like to take notes on paper, we've got paper outlines for you. I want to encourage you to be sure you do that. If digital is the flavor for you, go ahead and open up the LifeLink app. Those notes should be ready for you right there as well, or streaming through YouVersion. Those of you that are streaming the service, go ahead and download the notes where you are and get ready. We're in part two of something called Playlist. And today we're actually working through what I'm calling programming your playlist. And what I want to do just for a quick second this morning is just get a picture in your mind. See, when Jesus was here on the planet in physical form, one of the things that he did was he actually took the everyday things of life and used them as examples to help people conceptualize and understand eternal truths in the things that was natural to them. So he would talk about farming or dealing with sheep. You know, things you do every day, right? Like, who farms around here? Maybe not you. Anybody have sheep? Maybe not. But if he were here today, he would probably talk about social media. He'd probably talk about world events. He'd probably be talking about iPhones. He would never talk about a Samsung. I'm pretty sure he would use a Mac computer, because Jesus loves good technology. Just kidding. But my whole point in saying this to you as we're going through this is I'm going to be talking to you about something called playlist. And I'm going to be working through some ideas that really are truths from God's perspective that he shows us in his word. But it's going to sound so contemporary, it may seem like I'm not talking about something Jesus would say. But I beg to differ. In fact, if you look at what Jesus often did when he taught, he almost never took his Bible, which would be the scrolls from the Old Testament, and actually taught verse by verse through the Bible. He didn't do that. He taught topically, which meant here's a situation in life I want to teach you about. Then he would take a few scriptures or some context from his own understanding of truth, and he would actually bring to bear truth that actually dealt with what people were going through. Does that make sense, everyone? So most of the time, that's how we teach at LifeLink. We teach topically, although a couple of times of the year, we'll actually go through a book and teach more verse by verse in that style. But today is a topic that actually really does, this whole series, make a real difference in life. So I really hope you'll pay attention as we're going through this. Last week we talked about part one, which was how what's on the playlist of our heart and mind affects everything we do about the life we live. Today we're going to talk about how to set up your playlist in order to change your life. If you missed last week, you're already missing a chunk of what you really do need for today to come into good focus. So please go back on the LifeLink app and stream that service and make sure you get that context. I can't re-preach that because I get in trouble when I get to talking too much in a single setting. So I won't do that today, no matter how tempted I am. Can y'all tell I'm struggling right now? It's awesome. So anyway, next week is very, very practical. So today we're going to be talking about how to set your playlist up. Next week we'll be talking about what to put on the playlist. Does that make sense? And then finally, part four of the series, we're going to be talking about the road ahead, Vision Sunday, at the end of this month. So I hope you will make sure you're here for that. Now, for context, let me tell you two things about today's sermon. Number one, you will get agitated. I'm an equal opportunity agitator this morning. If you're not agitated by something I say during the sermon, you either weren't listening or you were Facebooking. So I just want you to know that ahead of time, there probably will be concepts that God talks to you about that will agitate the way you think a little bit. But I want you to know that's how God works. He works into the things we think, and he agitates those, and he says, that's not right, let's figure this out, and let me show you how this really works. And it sometimes is frustrating for us, but that's just how God works, and we actually want that. So if all I ever did was just make you feel better about the mess you're in, I'm not pastoring you. My job is to lead you out of the junk you're in. Thank you, Tim. The last thing is this, and then I promise we're going to get into the message. Everything I'm talking about today assumes one thing, that you already understand everything we talk about is relationally connected to God. Really, I should spend about 30 minutes talking about how important your relationship with God is for what we're going to talk about today to actually work. Because if you don't get the relationship part of it right, what we're talking about today could be pop psychology. Fair enough? But it really takes both of them. For example, if I take this $100 bill this morning, some of you are like, I'm in, I volunteer, whatever it is, I'm the one. Okay, this $100 bill actually belongs to someone. I promised them when I borrowed it this morning, I would not deface it, I wouldn't tear it up, I wouldn't dunk it in coffee or any of that kind of stuff like that that we do from time to time with illustrations. But what I want to illustrate this is for this $100 bill to have its value, it takes the head side and the tail side together for it to have the value. Does that make sense? So I'm saying the head side of our topic today is relationship first. The tail side is the structure of some things we're going to talk about that God wants to do from the relationship. Through the relationship, he wants to do this work in you. Fair enough? All right, now with that, we're going to pray and get started. Be with us today, Lord, as we work into your word. Cause it to come alive for us. Thank you in advance for change you'll do in my thinking today as a result of your word. That you'll do the same for every person. And as a result, you will give us access to who you've created us to be as we continue journeying through life in relationship with you. In Jesus' name we pray, everybody said, amen. Amen. Part one on your outline is the playlist reveal, the power of the playlist. One of our favorite verses around LifeLink is Romans 12. It's the first part of verse 2. It says this, don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God what? Transform you into a new person by what? Changing the way you think. So let me just hit one thing real quick on this. If he's going to change you into a new person by changing the way you think, the compare and contrast thing is stop doing what you're doing, be something new. What you're doing is highly affected by what you're thinking. So for me to change what you're doing, I need to change what you're thinking because that changes who you are and what you do. Already got it? So write this down. If you're taking notes, the way I think is called my mindset. My mindset. That's just the way I think. How many of you have ever, I'm not going to ask said this, but you've at least heard somebody say, well, that's just the way I am. Anybody ever heard that? Okay. There's a part of that that may be true. You may actually be that way right now, but what's actually true is it's more accurate to say, that's just the way I think. Because the way you think actually informs and affects the way you are, which then becomes the way you act. So really, it's the way that you think. And if you'll let God change the way you think, you'll let God transform you into a new person. So let's look at this. Where does all this happen? Proverbs 4:23, another hallmark here at LifeLink is guard your heart above all else, for it what? Determines the course of your life. Your heart determines the course of your life. Your heart. What does that mean, Pastor Dave? Well, let me just package it in three easy words: your mind, will, and emotions. All of those kind of coalesce into this thing, if you will, this construct that affects everything about you. And your Bible, God says in the Bible, that's your heart. The way your mind, will, and emotions all interchange together, that's the core of who you are. That's your heart. That's your heart. And he says that heart determines the course of your life. Now watch this. He didn't say that heart determines the events of your life. Although it affects that, it determines the course of your life. It affects the experience you have in life is highly affected by your heart. So in that context, Write this down. My mindset outlines the person that I am and the life I end up living. My mindset. Now, as I'm going through this, I want you to have some scenarios in your mind. Different parts of your life. Who are you at school? Who are you at home? Who are you at work? Who are you with your family? Who are you with the strange uncle? Are you the strange uncle? In other words, whoever, just put yourself in different scenarios, and I want you to know that God is telling you right now, the wife you are is determined by the heart you have. The husband that you are is determined by the heart that you have. The good news is, you can change. You're like, what? I'm perfect. Well, I'm going to ask your wife about that. The idea is, everyone, all of us need to grow and change. And the way we do that is let God change how we think. So last week, we actually looked at this verse. This is a new one. So what I want to do this morning is actually come to a spot where we're going to dig in today and say, if all of this is true and God says in his word that it is, then how does God actually change who we are in the heart of who we are? And so today is kind of the beginning. Now we're going to get into some new context. Colossians chapter 3, verse 2 says this, set your mind on things above. Set your mind on things above. Everyone say that with me. Set your mind on things above, keep reading, not on things on the earth. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. What does that mean? What is God really trying to say? If you step back and look at this, I'll use another instructional construct that Jesus actually gave us when he gave us a model prayer. Anyone ever heard the Lord's Prayer? Okay, we've all probably heard that. The Lord is my shepherd, it's not the Lord's shepherd. That's the what? Come on, who knows the Ten Commandments in order? We need to do some Bible study around here. All right? So the Lord's Prayer. Keep going, you're doing good. And a partridge in a pear tree. All right, good job, you guys. All right, so here's what my whole point in that is this. In the flow of all of that, he says something that's very important. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, where? On earth as it is in heaven. Jesus gives us this profound perspective that there are two systems of experience we can have. We can either have and live the experience defined by the world's system, or we can actually tap into God's system in heaven and live in that dynamic. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So, when he says, I want you to set your mind on things above, it's probably not wondering about the order of the end of the world. Probably that's not what he's talking about. Probably he's not talking about, I wonder what's going to be on the buffet at the big feast in heaven. He's probably not wondering, you know, am I going to have granite countertops in my house in heaven? You know, will I just kind of beam myself from place to place? And he's probably not talking about any of that stuff. What is he talking about? The way that kingdom works, which is the truth he reveals in Scripture as it applies to things we can experience here. So the way our relationships work, the way we handle and steward our resources, including time and talents and treasure. What we do with direction and a sense of purpose in our life. He said, I want you to set your mind on those things that come from heaven. My way of doing things, not the earth's way of doing things. Why? Because whatever you set your mind on is what you will begin to experience. Let me just ask you, if you watch Dr. Phil, do you want a marriage defined by what you see on that show? No, nobody wants to live that chaos. I don't know why people watch it. What do we really want? God's way. Remember, we just finished a series called Juice, the Fruit of the Spirit, and all of us really decided it's just better if we lived a life that was framed on the foundation of love, and it's better to live a life filled with joy, and it's better if my home is filled with peace. I want to have more patience. Those are God's attributes. That's the way he said, I've designed it all to live. I've designed it all to work. So when he says, set your mind on things above, not on things of the earth, he's basically saying, I want you to study who I am and what my word says about how I want you to live, because that's the way I've designed you to experience life the best. Why would he say to set our mind on things above? Probably because we're constantly distracted by the life we're immersed in. That makes sense? All right, let me give you some fill-ins here. Set your mind really deals with choosing what my mind is focused on. How many of you recognize what this is? It's power. You know who's fighting for the remote at your house? That's the one with all the power. She's probably four. My point is, this is a great, Jesus would probably use the illustration like this. Because we associate this with things that we see. Click, click, click. I want to tune into that channel. I want to watch that program. I want to put this in front of my eyes. I want to see that. So we're used to clicking, setting whatever we want to see with the remote. And he says, you have one of these built in. It's built in you. It's called choice. You literally have the ability to focus your mind on something. But most of the time, our minds are weak enough that we just concentrate on whatever shows up. The other day, my son-in-law bench pressed almost 300 pounds, 285, I think it was. So I told him, someday, James, you'll catch it. I can bench about 500, just in case you're wondering. And all God's people said, no way. I may or may not have just lied in the pulpit. Father, forgive me. It takes a lot of strength to push through something like that. All right, I couldn't probably do half of that. But James is in that mode where he's training his muscles to respond to force and resistance. I'm saying that there is a strength that God gave us when it comes to our mind that we can start choosing to focus on what God wants us to think about instead of just whatever stimulates our awareness. So we set our minds by choosing what our mind is focused on. Things above means God's truth and ways. Things on earth are the culturally acceptable thoughts and practices. Culturally acceptable thoughts and practices. So things above is God's truth and ways. Things on earth are the culturally acceptable thoughts and practices. Okay. Another way to say that, things above, God's way. Things on earth, the world's way. What's God say about it? What's everybody doing? What's God say about it? What do I think about it? See it? So we set our mind by focusing on either God's ways and truth or whatever is culturally acceptable in the thoughts and practices. Now, the reason this is important, stay with me on this. Proverbs 14:12 says this: there is a way that seems right to a person, but in the end, it leads to death. So just because something seems right doesn't actually mean it's right if it's not what God says is right. So here's what I want you to focus on, because this is really where the message kind of takes a turn and we get pretty empowered. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5 says this: we demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought, circle the word thought, we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. Now listen, everybody, I want to give you a key. I want to give you a tool. I want to give you a hint. I want to give you a powerful weapon to make your marriage better, to make your household better, to make your finances better, to make your health better, to make whatever it is you're struggling with better. It's going to come down to this issue. We demolish arguments and every pretension. Let me give you what that means. Arguments and pretensions equal the current trends and the rationale of the culture around us. This is the trend of how people think in the culture we live in. Okay? Does that make sense, everybody? Y'all following this? And by the way, this changes from time to time. Culture is always morphing and shifting and changing. Just a few years ago, our culture took a big leap into a whole different way of thinking when our Supreme Court redefined what marriage is, and the ramifications of that will probably never come back into focus. What happened? The rationale and the trend of thinking changed. Y'all see it? So those are arguments and pretensions. The Supreme Court cannot define truth. It just says, here's how we're going to explain what's okay to do. It's the rationale. This is the current trend of what we think is acceptable. It doesn't make it true or not. It just means it's culturally palatable. All right? Knowledge of God is the truth that God reveals through his Bible. Knowledge of God is the truth that God reveals through his Bible. And this is the one I really hope everybody will catch. Take captives means to catch and compare the thoughts that affect my attitudes and choices. Catch and compare the attitudes that affect my thoughts and my attitudes and choices. Is that Siri? I need more milk in my fridge, Siri. I'll probably get home today and have 6 gallons of milk on my front porch. Anyway, my point in all of this is this. Can you picture that your mind constantly have thoughts that runs through it? Just constant thoughts. Somebody says something, it makes me feel something. Somebody does something, it makes me feel something. Somebody, whatever it was, I feel something. My thoughts just run. And usually what happens, you guys, is we just go right along with it. You ever heard somebody say, "You make me so mad"? You can't make somebody mad. You can do something that causes them to think something, and then they set their mind on something that you did or said, and all of a sudden, because their mind is stuck right there, it constantly starts putting an agitation in their spirit, and all of a sudden their emotions start running away. But the person didn't make them mad. The person did something. You made yourself mad. You're like, "Pastor Dave, I thought you were going to help me in my marriage." You're helping her. No. Does everybody understand what I believe God's really working with us on? Don't just run with thoughts. That looks fun. Oh, that'll be fun. That'll be so exciting. They're doing it. He's doing it. She's doing it. Everybody's doing it. Doesn't make it okay. Catch the thought and compare it with what God says. If it lines up with what God says, then focus on it. If it doesn't, reject it. move it on, and replace it with something God says and focus on that. Just a few hours ago, we were getting ready for my daughter, Lacey, for those of you who don't know, my daughter was leading praise and worship this morning. We were getting ready for her birthday party at our house. So I got to be Pops yesterday and watch Emma and Nova for hours. It was only supposed to be a 3-hour tour. Literally, Cherie left the house about 9:30, was going to be back around 1. I'm thinking, I can do anything for 2 or 3 hours. They'll probably never let me watch those girls again. But we had fun. We did have fun. In the middle of all of that, I confess, about 6 hours into the 3-hour tour, my mind got the best of me. I literally called Cherie. Fortunately, she did not answer. I thought, I know exactly what she did. She said, honey, I'll be back. And then she did what all of you guys do when you drop off your kids in the nursery. You don't go back. Just ask them. They'll tell you. I'm just kidding. So fortunately, she didn't answer. But I have a video. I wish I'd have thought to show this because Emma is on the floor crying because she does not want to eat lunch. And Nova is upstairs in the bedroom in the monitor. She's crying. So I got one downstairs crying, one upstairs crying. Now, there was no blood anywhere, so everything was fine. And within 2 minutes, there was no more crying. Everybody was happy. But my point is that I was sure Cherie was just out there just shopping, you know, just having a good old time, thinking, oh, don't worry, Davo's got that at the house. It's all good. No, Davo did have it at the house. It wasn't all good in that moment. What I didn't know is she was up at the church with about a 2-hour project that nobody saw coming, and she was trying to fix up a bunch of stuff going off with a kids' program launch they did this morning. But I didn't know that. And in the middle of all that, my mind was pretty sure she was just out shopping. Now, guess what feeling I had inside? Do y'all see how that works? That's how our minds work. And instead of just assuming everything, God's saying, listen, when the thoughts come in, catch them. Compare them to what I'm saying. If it doesn't match what I'm saying, don't accept it. Reject that thought. Replace it with what I'm saying and concentrate with what I say about that issue. Why? Because whatever you focus on is what you experience. Whatever you focus on is what you experience. Catch and compare. So let me actually give you a couple more fill-ins just on the back of your sheet now. Let's talk about the practical side of resetting my mind. Next week, we're going to actually talk about all the different plays that God gives us in His Word. But let me just help you identify. Now that we understand some of what God's trying to work with us on, let me finish this last part of the sermon with how do I identify where to start working on some of these things that will really make a difference? All right, let me ask you 2 quick questions. Number one, what hurts in my life? What hurts in my life? If you're looking for a good place to start, just ask, what's got my attention? What hurts? What hurts? Are you going through some physical pain, maybe some emotional pain? Is there a sense of terror or dread or fear that's got your mind? Is there a relational trauma going on in your world? In other words, what hurts in your life? Another way you could look at this is, what season of life am I in? What season of life am I in? And then what's God say about that season? For example, am I 7 years old? Am I 16 years old? Am I 22 years old? Am I 42 years old? Am I 82 years old? What season am I in? Because God has something to say about all those seasons. And let me tell you, it really makes a difference if you key your thoughts in on what God says about each of those seasons. When you're 10, your job is to learn to obey authority in your life and learn how to let leaders lead your life and instruct you on how to prepare yourself for life. When you're 17, the issue is not how do you get your own way. When you're 17, it's how do I work with leaders in my life, usually parents, who were doing their very best to train me and prepare me to run a household, because adulting looks really different than it does when you're 16, right? It really does. But most of the time, when we're about 15, 16, 17 years of old, we just think, how do I get out of here so I can get what I want? And when you're about 45, it all comes into focus, and that was the dumbest thing I ever thought in my life. It's a, how do I stay in line so I'm ready, really ready to be prepared for life? Et cetera, et cetera. You know, if you're 82 years old, you shouldn't compare yourself to somebody who's 32 with all that energy and drive. You're in a whole different season of life. So instead of just letting our thoughts run wild, capture them and say, what season am I in? Where am I at? I'm a husband. What's God say about husbanding? What's God say about wifing? What's God say about this? And let that framework actually define the way I think. Instead of, here's what the world thinks about it. So what hurts in my life? What season of life am I in? And then let me give you four steps to God's very best for you. And then we're going to wrap this up this morning. Number one, and come back into the message with me. I feel like I may have lost a couple of you guys a few minutes ago, but come back in. Let me give you these four and really catch them. Here's how you do this. First thing you do is ask, how do I feel about something that has my attention in life? How do I feel about something that's got my attention? All right? And by the way, pay attention to torpedoes. Emotional torpedoes. You ever been kind of just cruising through your day, everything's fine, and then somebody says something to you and it's like a torpedo? You're just cruising through your day and all of a sudden somebody texts you something and it's like an emotional torpedo and just wrecks you. Okay, that is not the way God works. God does a different way of working in our life. But we do have a spiritual adversary who rides that torpedo in as deeply in your heart as you'll let it go, and set up shop there and get you thinking. You'll wreck whole days. You'll ruin weeks, maybe months, whole seasons of life if you don't catch a torpedo that comes into your soul and say, that is not the way God sees me. That is not who I am. That's not the way my life works. That's not who I'm about. Does that make sense? Pay attention to those torpedoes. So ask, how do I feel about something that's got my attention? Number two, realize that feeling is based on something that I think. Okay, the torpedo comes in, it hits, all of a sudden I begin to think about that. Well, what that lady said about me is true. Well, you start sputtering in your mind without realizing, wait a second, you've given somebody else this. You've given somebody else power over you because you let something that they said or did torpedo your soul. Did it wreck your day? Did it wreck your weekend? You just gave them the remote. So instead, take it back and go, wait a second, I'm thinking about what he said. I'm thinking about what he did. I'm thinking about what she said or did. I'm thinking about that Facebook thing. I'm thinking about what they tweeted on Twitter. I'm thinking about an Instagram post, or I'm thinking about this, or I'm thinking about that. Pay attention. Do you see that what you're thinking about is affecting the way you feel? Feelings are powerful motivators. Those feelings will eventually motivate you to do something. So why not, before it gets too late, take the remote out of the hand of the person that did or said that to you? Say, thank you very much. How do I do that? Remember, you catch the thoughts, you capture the thoughts, and compare them with who God says you are. What God says about that situation. Oh, that doesn't match what God says. Then I reject that. I won't let that define the way I feel. No way. I have everything I need for life and godliness. I'm not limited by a bill. I'm not limited by my current finances. I'm not limited by that. Are there some things I need to change and grow in? Absolutely. Will I do it? Yes, I will. But I won't be defeated by that. Why? Because that does not have the remote in my life. God's word has the remote in my life. I'm deciding I'm going to let my mind focus on who God says I am. That I am who he says I am. That I have who what he says I have. That I can do what God says I can do. Why? Because he created me this way. He bought me back from sin. He authorized me with his presence. He fills my life with his power. I can do anything that he's called me to do. Why? Because I'm in his image. He made me this way. I will not let darkness have my mind that way. I won't let that. Why? Because I want God's best for me. Do you see it? I want a marriage that will not break. So when the tempers start rising, I'll go, wait a second. I don't have to be right. I want a marriage that works. So I'm going to dial the rhetoric back. Why? Because God says, my wife is fearfully and wonderfully made. Baby, what do you need? Because I am your strength and I am your size. I am your power and I am your defender. What do you need to feel okay? Let's work on that together. I can't do the women's side of that because I'm just not woman. But you understand what I'm saying, right? Instead of how do I leverage so I can get over one on you because I'm tired of this and I'm tired of that. No, you're not. What you really want is it to work, but it won't work if you go the world's way. And somebody's got to go first, you guys. Somebody's got to go first. Why not let it be you? Why not let it be you? Realize the feeling is based on something I think. Compare what I think to what God says in his Bible. I'm going to talk more about this next week. This is about lining the moral warehouse of your soul. And then watch this. If what I think doesn't match what God says, I begin resetting my mind to God's truth by meditating on his word. Hey, everybody, you will not get what God wants unless you know his word. You will not get what God wants you to have. You will not become who God wants you to become. You will not accomplish what he wants you to accomplish. He created you to do so unless you know his word. Why? Because his word has all the power in it. So when we actually feel the torpedoes come, when we feel those things happen, and then we recognize, wait a second, that's not who I am. What is it that God's word says? I don't know. I got to go find it out. You get in his Bible. Why? Because that's where his authority is. That's where his word is. And that's who your maker is, who knows you. So I begin resetting my mind to God's truth by meditating on his word. She said that about me, but I am fearfully and wonderfully made. He said that about me. He did this to me. She did that to me. She texted this to me. She took my whatever it was. He took my such and such. He did da 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 da. But I am this. But I am this. But God says. But God says. But God says. You need to get used to saying, but God says. But God says. But God says. I know it looks, but God says. I know it sounds, but God says. I know I look, but God says. Why? Because what God says works. What God says goes, unless you give them the remote, and then something else is being your God. Now watch this. I'm going to finish with this last scripture. Psalm 119:11 says it this way. I have hidden your word in my what? Heart. So I won't what? Sin against you. Hey, everybody, listen, for a lifetime, I've often thought, God's, he just wants me to know how to behave. So if I memorize his list of rules, then I won't misbehave. That's what that verse always sounded like for most of my life until it dawned on me. Wait a second. He's literally saying something different. You know what God's saying? If I will take the truth of your word and bury it in my heart, the part of me that defines who I am, if I put your word in there, it ultimately changes the way I think. And if it changes the way I think, it changes who I am, which changes the way I act. I can be generous. I can be loving. I can be gracious. I can be spiritual. I can be powerful. I can be everything God created me to be. Why? Because God's word is in my heart. When God's word gets in our heart, it's not just so that he'll show us what not to do. It literally changes who we are to become to be created into who he's created us to be. Now, does he want us to sin? No, he doesn't. But do you understand the application we're working on today? God wants to give you a powerful, powerful relationship-driven life. So this is what I want to come back all the way to the face side, heads of the $100 bill. None of that works like God wants it to unless you're in a relationship with him. Why? Because when you hear God's word
and you line up with God's word in order to be in relationship with him, everything comes together and you're on your way to a powerful new season. I'm going to push pause on the sermon series till next week. I promise you, you're going to love next week. But let me pray for you before I let you go. We're going to watch God do something great. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for your faithfulness. For the journey of transformation that each of us are on, God, I ask that you would cover this congregation and those that are streaming by technology, wherever they may happen to be. I bless and agree with your word in all of our lives. I ask, God, that you would give people courage to actually start the power of transformation by not simply knowing your Bible, but by starting by relationship with you, by understanding that, God, you are creator. You're the one who redeemed us. Jesus, you're the one who purchased our spiritual salvation. You're the one that purchased us from death into new life eternally. You're the one that did all of that. And you did that because, God, you love us. You're not looking for performance. You're looking for relationship so that our lives are aligned with your word and you give us access to everything we need for life and godliness. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth, in my life, as it is in heaven. God, today, I'm going to start choosing to set my mind on things above, not just the thought patterns of the world I live in, because I want you and who you are and what you have more than what I want from the world around me. I pray that spirit over this congregation and everyone listening today by wherever you're listening from. I give you thanks. With your head bowed and your eyes closed, there are some people in here today that need to start this journey by acknowledging you've lived incorrectly, you've lived wrong. The Bible says you've lived sinning against God by doing your own thing, living for a whole different mindset, a whole different world. But Jesus gave his life on Calvary's cruel cross to pay for the sin of your life so that you could have a fearless relationship with God, completely purchased by what he did, completely authorized by his unmerited love and favor. Today, some of you in here today need to say yes to Jesus and accept his relationship. You need to repent for your sin and open your heart and let Jesus come in. So I'm going to ask every one of us to think in our hearts right now, is this my day to say yes to Jesus? And will I say yes to giving him lordship of my life? Will I live for him for the rest of my life? If that's you, then I'm going to ask you to join everyone else in this room. Let's say this prayer together. Heavenly Father, thank you for loving me enough to give me the truth of your word. Jesus, thank you for dying on the cross to pay for my sin. I'm asking you to forgive me for every sin I've ever committed in my life, that you would wash me and cleanse me and make me brand new. Because today, I'm deciding to follow you. No turning back. In Jesus' name. Everybody said? Amen. Let's give the Lord a great big praise today.
Thank you for listening to today's podcast. We pray that you are blessed by God's word. For more information, visit lifelinkchurch.com.